So our text is from Romans chapter 3, these words: "It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." So our text, you may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Reformation Sunday, Sunday set apart to remember the rediscovery of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible, its propagation, the propagation of the gospel by that German monk, Martin Luther, 500 years ago. Let's begin by taking a look at the epistle reading a bit more closely. It's there in your bulletins, that reading from Romans. That is the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, outlining the basics of the Christian faith to them before he had ever even been to Rome. So there in verse 20 of chapter 3 of Romans we read, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight," that is, in the sight of God, "since through the law comes knowledge of sin." So let's think about that for a second. Let's think about it for a second. The idea that by the works of the law, no human being will be justified before God. That is, made acceptable, approved of, welcomed, blessed. So what are the works of the law? Well, the law is the Ten Commandments that God himself gave to Moses on Mount Sinai in the wilderness. Those Ten Commandments, then, are not Moses' commandments, they're God's commandments. A description of the way in which the children of Israel were supposed to live, the way in which all mankind is supposed to live. What are the works of the law, then? What are they? Well, obedience to the law, living according to it, doing daily what the law demands and not doing ever what the law of God forbids. Now, that might not seem like too formidable of a task, at least at first. That is, to do what we should do and not do what we shouldn't do. For after all, there are only 10 commandments, just 10. Not dozens, not hundreds, not thousands, only 10. And being that there are only 10 commandments, a human being, you, can indeed keep these commandments, listen closely, can indeed keep these commandments outwardly. Outwardly, without much effort on our part. Really. I mean, we could live by avoiding the worship of idols, by not misusing the name of God, by attending church regularly. We can live by honoring our parents and avoiding murdering anyone, or committing adultery, or stealing, or lying, or coveting. I mean, outwardly, with our bodies. And if this is so, that we can live outwardly in such a way without much effort, this explains why most people, they never spend any time, not one day, in jail. And that in general, individuals can pride themselves on their good behavior. Also explains why when lawlessness does indeed break out or misbehavior, it's common for many people, most to think, why are they doing those things? Don't they know that what they're doing is wrong? They're only hurting themselves by doing so? In that comparison, then, that comparison of ourselves to others, we can even over time become a bit haughty, a bit prideful. Like the singer in that country western song where the hook is the guy declaring, "I got it honest. I got it honest." Or in other words, whatever I've achieved, whatever I've received, whatever I accomplished, I did so by doing the right thing and by not doing the wrong thing. So I can be proud of what I've become and how I have become what I am. Rightly so. I got it honest. Now, all that being the case, that man can do the works of the law of God, outwardly, with success. Why is it then that the Holy Spirit tells us that by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight? Why? Well, it's because the fulfillment of the law of God, what God commands from us when it comes to the fulfillment of the law, has to do not only with our bodies, but with our spirits. That is, our souls. That means not only are we to do the right thing and avoid doing the wrong things, but we are to think and feel the right things and not think and feel the wrong things. God is spirit, after all. And so our fulfillment of the law must be in spirit, must be in our spirits. So the summary, the first three commandments, the summary which our Lord and Savior Jesus taught us, and that is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and our minds. And Jesus even called this the greatest of all commandments, and that is the demand that what is going on inside of us, in our hearts and souls and minds, match what's going on the outside of us. What is going on in our spirits, our souls, match what is going on in our bodies. And when we hear that, well, when we hear that, all bets are off, aren't they? All bets are off when it comes to justifying ourselves by the works of the law. For we know that so often what we want to do and what we do actually do, two different things entirely, aren't they? In fact, part of growing up is learning not to do what we really want to do, what we're thinking and feeling, and instead do that with our bodies, which we should do. So in that there is a conflict there, a conflict between our spirits and our bodies, our hearts and souls and minds, not living in agreement with our bodies, we can understand why the Holy Spirit tells us in Romans that by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. Now, Martin Luther, you know, he tried. Luther tried to bring his body in conformity with his spirit, and his spirit in conformity with his body. That's why Luther abandoned his studies to become a lawyer and became a monk instead. By doing so, he was, for all intents and purposes, trying to work out his salvation in fear and trembling, as we read in Philippians 2, by bringing his body and his spirit into conformity. But what Luther discovered, and what all Christians discover eventually, or they are not Christians, is the next part of that passage from Romans chapter 3, and that is that no human being will be justified in God's sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. In other words, when we look to the law and try to fulfill the law, not only with our bodies, with our outward actions, but with our spirits, our hearts, our souls, our minds, we realize that it simply is impossible. For although we can have moments of clarity and serenity and confidence, thoughts and ideas can fly through our minds at a moment's notice, altering our moods, changing our emotions. And before we know it, what our hearts and minds and souls are thinking is so far away from what we actually are doing. Modern problem? No. Apostle Paul had this same experience. That is, the conflict between his spirit and his body. Even when his spirit wanted to do the right thing, describing it this way a few chapters later in the same epistle to the Romans, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, But the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. So here we see we're stuck either way. That which we do outwardly to keep the law, we don't want to do inwardly. And that which we want to do inwardly to keep the law, we don't do. So it should be clear to us then, if we're honest, we're honest with ourselves, that we cannot bring our inner and outer self into alignment when it comes to the fulfillment of the law, that we cannot justify ourselves before God by doing so. It's impossible. It simply is. So what then? What then? How is it that we're justified before God? Can we even be? Is it possible to be? And if so, how? Well, let's look at our epistle again, Romans 3, picking it up at verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now that we've established by noting the conflict between our inner and outer selves, our souls, our spirits, and our bodies, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. And now we come to our sermon text, printed on the cover of your bulletin. It was to show His, that is God's, righteousness at the present time, that so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. So how is God just? God is just by punishing sin. He's just by punishing sin. And let's not get all offended at the punishment of sin, because all people believe that sin should be punished. They just disagreed as to which sin should be punished and to how it should be punished. But God and God alone is just in punishing sin, being able to peer into our hearts and souls and minds, knowing exactly why it is that we do what we do. That is our motivations. So how then does God punish our sins? How does He do it? To be just? Well, He punishes His Son, Jesus Christ. He punishes Jesus for our sins. He punishes the one who is both God and man, laying on Him our sins and iniquities, causing Him, Jesus, our Savior, to suffer and die for our sins as our punishment, thus not letting us get away with anything. What do I mean? Well, we get away with no sin. It's just that the punishment for our sin, each and every one of them, has been borne by our Savior Jesus on the cross, thus covering our sin with His blood and justifying us then before God. For believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, all this applies to each and every one of us. Everything that Jesus has done. No, we are not justified before God by the works of the law, but we are justified before God through faith in the one who did perfectly and completely fulfill the law of God for us. His heart and soul and mind being in harmony with His body, then sacrificed for us, covering perpetually our disunity within ourselves, so that daily our inner contradiction is forgiven. That's what happens when we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Our Lord and Savior from sin. Our Lord and Savior from the sin within ourselves. So, we can understand then how God is just in addressing the sin within us, and God is the justifier by Himself, doing something about it, that is, having His Son suffer and die in our stead. This one insight, this one idea, that God is just, but also the justifier, our justifier, through faith in His Son, was what was at the heart of the Reformation of the Holy Christian Church 500 years ago. But it's also at the heart of the Reformation of every holy Christian yet today. Each and every one, when they admit finally that they cannot justify themselves before God by means of the works of the law, but that God himself in his justice must be the one who justifies them and who does in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is, it is God who is just, and it is God who is our justifier through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess together the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.